Our Lord and our God, we go into your word this morning, believing that out of your word we have life. Daddy, release unto us a new lease of life in the name of Jesus. Quicken our mortal bodies. Let the word we hear today profit us in Jesus' name. Help us, O God, to live a life that is befitting of true disciples. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Amen. Just before we go into the word, please, if you are worshiping with us for the first time, can you just give a wave to the book of Mark? The book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. The book of Mark, chapter 3, we'll read from verse 13 to 15. Are we there? Mark 3, 13 to 15. I'm going to be talking to us about disciples and believers. Disciples and believers. And he goeth up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Another version says, and he went up on the hillside and called to him for himself those whom he wanted and chose, and they came to him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Praise the Lord. I think I will have shared a bit about this passage with us before. It gives a summary of how Jesus chose his disciples. He said Jesus took a group of people to the mountainside. And when he got to the mountainside, he chose for himself. Himself chose them. The Bible Amplified Version said those whom he wanted and chose. So he selected out of those people, which means not everyone that was there present, did he make his disciple. And he called them. He chose 12 of them so he can send them out as special messengers. It is very common today for everyone to say, I'm a believer, I'm a believer, I'm a believer. I want to tell you that there are different classes of believers. The first thing is that everyone believes in something. There is nobody who doesn't believe in something. You either believe in yoga, believe in science, believe in Buddha, believe in something. Everyone believes in something else, in something. And when it comes to the Christendom, everyone will say, I'm a believer, I believe. You know, the believers, we are believers. So there are different classes of believers. And I think I've preached to us before, and I even said to us that the devil is a believer. After all, when it comes to believing in God now, I've told us before that the devil himself is a believer. How many of us agree with me? Yeah, he's a believer. In James chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. James chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. I think we should read it, because it's important in regards to what we want to say. Remember, we are talking about disciples and believers. We want to make a distinction between the two, so that you can locate yourself, find where you are. And if you think you are not where you should be, move to where you ought to be. James 2, 18 to 20. He said, yes. Okay, let me read Amplify. He said, but someone will say to you then, you say you have faith and I have good works. Now, you show me your alleged faith apart from any good works, if you can. And I, by good works of obedience, will show you my faith. It's quite powerful. You believe that God is one, you do well. So do the demons believe and shudder in terror and horror, such as make a man's hair stand on end and contract the surface of his skin. In other words, the devil, you know, it's so he's fearful of God. Praise the Lord. Are you willing to be shown proof? You foolish, unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow, that faith apart from good works is inactive and ineffective and worthless. So in other words, faith without works is dead. That's what the Bible is saying. And that the devil is a believer. But the problem with the devil is that he has no work to back up his belief. That's the difference. He believes, he trembles, but he has no good works to back up his own belief. That's why he's the devil. Praise the Lord. And I want to tell us this morning that the commission Jesus gave us is to go out and make disciples, and not to go out and make believers. The commission Jesus gave to us is not a commission to go out and make believers, but to go out and make disciples. How many of us agree with me? Praise the Lord. To go make disciples of people. In Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 28, 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The instruction that Jesus gave to his disciple is very clear. And I want you to take note, because we'll come back to it. He said, go then and make disciples of all the nations. This Amplified Version. If you read King James Version, that's verse 19 I'm reading. You may say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. But it actually says in Amplified, he said, go ye therefore, he said, go then and make disciples of all the nations. So the commission is for us to go and make disciples, not to go and make believers. Baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. And so let it be. That is amen. You see, teaching them to observe everything I've taught you. So the people who come, who you go to and minister Christ, what you are ministering to them is not the blessings of the kingdom. I hope you are listening. What he asked you to go and teach them is not the blessings of the kingdom. Oh, he didn't ask you to come and tell them about the healings in the kingdom. He didn't ask you to go. It's part of what we are going to tell people. I hope you understand me. But he said, teaching them to do what? To observe all the things that I've taught you. That is the primary thing first. Observe there does not mean to stand as a spectator and watch. The word observe there is to carry it out. When they say they observe the Sabbath day, which means he gave respect to the Sabbath day, he rested from work, he worshiped God on that day. Observe. Teaching them to observe all that I've taught you. That is our primary responsibility. So he has sent us to make disciples of people. And I pray that you will be his disciple in the name of Jesus. Of course, if you are not his disciple, how can you disciple someone else? Because the message was given to the disciple to go and disciple other people. So if you yourself, you are not a disciple, you can never disciple somebody. If you are a believer, if you are an ordinary believer, you cannot disciple someone else. Let's quickly look, how then do we identify who disciples are? So we are going to quickly look at who disciples are. Some of the things you will see that will make you know who the disciples are. The characteristics of disciples. We have established at the beginning that disciples are the people whom Jesus himself has called. Many of us will say, okay, Jesus is not physically on earth to take me to the hillside and to call me. Jesus has called you by the people he has sent to you and the words of his grace that he has made known to you. Some people haven't heard the word that you have heard. Some people have heard the word, but they have not believed unto the saving grace. Thank God for your life, that you have believed unto what? Unto the saving grace. And that is why you are in his presence today. Because in Mark chapter 3 verse 13, he said, he called, and I like the way I read it from the Amplified Version. He said, those that he wanted, not everyone. We show that not everybody who came to him was chosen. Because everyone that Jesus chooses, he also gives them a portion among the saints. They have a place in the kingdom. You will not miss your place in the kingdom in Jesus' name. Just by way of digression, when I was preparing this message, I read the book of John. We are going to be reading a lot of John today, because I thought if we are going to be talking about disciples, there's no one else who would be fit to write about disciples but John the Beloved himself. Praise God. So I've taken a lot of the texts from the book of John. One thing that really interested me, or I got interested in, was when I was reading, going through, I then read from John chapter 1 verse 44, just for your interest. And I said, you know, it must not have been a political appointment, because there were 12 tribes in Israel. Amen. And we also know that The tribes of Israel, they didn't just scatter all over Israel. They were actually apportioned places depending on what tribe they belonged to. Amen? So, Jesus, in appointing the apostles or the disciples, he did not only just choose brothers from the same family. At least there were two groups of people who were from the same families. So, he didn't just say, let me balance it out. Praise God. You will see why later. He also chose people from the same village. John 1:44, he said, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Praise God. So it didn't matter to him whether you are from the same house. What mattered to Jesus was whether you obey God and you are willing to serve him. That was all. I just thought I should add that. So for me, it doesn't matter who you are. Whether you are from the same house, you have the same mother or whatever, anyone who is willing to serve God, let's work together. Praise God. Now, all disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. Let's look at the way Jesus made his disciples. There's something about Jesus and his disciples. Let's go to John 3:5. John 3:5. Jesus answered, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, unless a man is born of water and even the Spirit, he cannot, that is, ever enter the kingdom of God. Say, very verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, the people that Jesus will make disciples of, they are the people whom he has already transformed. People who have had an encounter with him that has led to a change of life. Jesus called it being born of water and of the Spirit. We are going to examine what that means very soon. Look at John 15:3. John 15:3. We're looking at the disciples. He said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Some people would say the disciples of Jesus were not born again. They were born again. They were already born again. He said, you are now clean through what? Through the word that I speak to you. Let's look at Ephesians 5:26. Ephesians 5:26. Amplified version says, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So the word and the water again are brought in juxtaposition to say, look, the cleaning that takes place in the life of a disciple of Christ is that the word has washed him or her and has made him or her whole. Now, in case you don't get it yet, let's go to James 1:18. The book of James 1:18. He said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. With what did Jesus begat us? He begat us with his word of truth. It is with the word that he has saved us. It is with the word that he has cleansed us. It is with the word that he has appropriated us to himself. It is the word that work wonders in our lives, that translate us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's the word. A lot of people will say, oh, I have the spirit, you know, this is what, you know, this is what I believe, this is my mind. No! It's about the word. If it is not in line with the word, it cannot be of God. Can you write it down? I will say it again. If it is not in line with the word of God, then it cannot be of God. Because it is with the word that he has redeemed us. It is with the word that he has translated us and changed us. It is with the word that he has purified us and appropriated us to himself. It's all about the word. So when we neglect the word and we say we are Christians, we have not started. Because it's all about the word. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Let me read another version. You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, that is seed, that is product of a man's body, but from one that is mortal by the ever living and lasting word of God. So it's the word of God that does the regeneration. Praise God. So when somebody says, I'm born again, so what then does it mean? Somebody says, I'm born again. When we are born again, what does it mean? It's a very simple thing. When we say we declare Lord Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, in simple terms, what it means is that we now live by the word of God. Pure and simple. If you don't live by the word of God, if you say you are born again, you are deceiving yourself. Because it's the word that has recreated and regenerated you and changed your life. So that you are no longer, listen to this, you won't like this, but you are no longer a thinking person. You are a doing person who is doing the will of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are no longer, you know, I feel like, I hope you understand what I mean. I'm not saying we don't think anymore, but we think the things of God. Praise the Lord. We think the things that will please God. We think the things that, you know, that are in line with the word of God. Amen. I'm just saying that you no longer live your own life, but you now live the life of Jesus. That's what it means. So we live according to the word. Now let me just quickly show us something. Let's go back to John. I don't know. So that you can actually get what it means to be a disciple and to be born again. Because a lot of times, I believe people don't understand it. We go around town. People go around town and just say, oh, by grace. That grace is what has translated us to the kingdom where the word operates. Amen? So that the word begins to operate in our lives. That's what's the difference. Let's look at John chapter 3, 36. 3:36. I want you to take note of this very well. John chapter 3, verse 36. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You will know who a disciple is right now. The word believe, or the word believeth here, in the first word believeth, is from a Greek word pytheos. P-I-T-E-O-U-S. Pytheos. That same word can be used in exchange for faith. To believe. Like put trust in. Praise God. Now, in the same passage in John 3:36 that we read, he then said, And he that believeth not. Listen to this. The word believeth there, the second believeth, is not the same word as pytheos. It's a different word from the word pytheos. It's a different word. It's actually apetheo. A-P-E-I-T-H-E-O. Apetheo. It's a different word from the pytheos, the initial one, but it's apetheo. It means does not believe and obey. So in other words, it's not just holding the belief that I know the truth, but there is an accompanying obedience that goes with it. So what he's saying is this: he that does not believe to the point that he can begin to obey. He that does not believe to the point that he trusts him well enough to obey him, the same cannot see life. It's very serious. Now you can see the place of the word in the life of the disciple. In other words, if you have not believed to the point that you are able to obey him, then you are not a disciple. Disciples believe and obey. Now, you can see the relevance of Matthew 28:20. He said, teaching them to observe, teaching them to obey these things. So, in other words, go and make disciples, people who are going to be obedient to the word. Anyone who has not come to the point that they have become obedient to the word is head knowledge. That is simply head knowledge. Praise the Lord. Somebody here will not be angry with me, but because I'm going to give this testimony on their behalf, and nobody will know that it's you. So don't worry, whoever you are. Praise the Lord. I remember here, the word of God came out and said, if you have had a particular kind of relationship with a man of God in the past, and that in order for you to break forth and break through, you needed to make an amendment. You know what? Somebody had it here. And after the message, they went immediately and they called the pastor concerned and made amendment immediately. That is a disciple. If you have not believed to the point that you hear the word of God and you obey immediately, forget it. It's not about who sees us. It's not about our class. It's not about connection. It's not about our position. If we have not come to the point that we are, if we just rest at the point of pytheos, we are not yet there. It has to get to the point of pytheo so that we believe and we obey. Praise God. Remember, I told you that the devil is a believer. And I said, but the problem with the devil is that he will never do what is right. So, apatio. He knows what is right, but he will not do what is right. You become a disciple from today in the name of Jesus. Another thing about disciples is that disciples are true worshippers. Disciples are what? True worshippers. Let's open to John, the book of John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I said, the disciples are the true worshippers. The first thing we've established is that the disciples are the ones who believe to the point of obedience. Second, that the disciples are the true worshippers. They worship in spirit and in truth. So let's again go and look for what is the spirit. Praise the Lord. First of all of us know that the Bible says God is spirit. Right? We have just read it, so I'm not making it up. In verse 24, you say the verse 24 starts by saying God is a spirit. He didn't actually say God is spirit. No, God is a spirit, which means there are other types of spirits, but God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Good. So God is spirit. Let's go back to John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is what? He's a spirit. Praise the Lord. And we are told here that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if God is a spirit, and the Word was God, so which means the Word was a spirit. Am I right? So the Word of God is a spirit, the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. So in other words, when I say I have the Spirit of God in me, what does it mean? I have the Word of God in me. The Spirit of God told me this. It means the Word of God told me this. If it's not found in the Word of God, you are lying. Praise God. How many of us know the meaning of Spirit now? The Spirit of God. Praise God. Very simple. It's there. If we do the Psalms. Amen. So, God is spirit, and the Word, which was God, is the same as the Spirit of God. Jesus even further emphasized this in John 6:63. He says, the Word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And I like it the way it is said, the way 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. Amplified version. I like the way it renders it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, every scripture is God breathed. I like that. Every scripture is God breathed, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. So God puts his spirit, his word in us for what? Let's read it again. For what? Eh? For reproof. So what is reproof? It's for correction and conviction, to convince us of sin, for correction of error. In other words, he has put his word in us to correct us, to say this is the way we are going now is not right, this is the way to go, for correction of error and discipline in obedience. Like I've just done, and I say, if you are a worker, if you are not paying your tithe, don't bother. Some people may say I'm harsh. That's the word of God. That's what it says it should do. If it's not necessary, he won't say it. It's the word of God. That is the spirit of God. If you say you have the spirit of God and you don't have the word of God, you have another spirit, not his own spirit. Am I right? How many students of mathematics, theological mathematics, are here? Praise God. We're getting it. Okay, I think I'm getting it too. Discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living. Training in righteousness. Training, it is said. Because remember, let's look at our bulletin. Training in righteousness. So if you ask to pay your tithes, it's not the only thing that makes you righteous. Please, so it doesn't look right. I mean, I don't hold apology for preaching title, but you know, it's not every time I talk about it, but we need to start with what we can see. Praise God. If you look in front of your bulletin, what does it say? How many of us have got a bulletin there? Can we read the word from the pastor there? Sorry? Okay, give it to me if you can't read it. Praise the Lord. He says, patience is a virtue we all want to have, but unfortunately, it only comes from being in the furnace. So smile when the king orders that the furnace be heated 7 times, because a great king needs the fire to mold your crown. And listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, now, no chastening, correction, discipline for the present seemeth to be joyous. It's not pleasant, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of what? Of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Only those who are exercised thereby, those who don't make themselves subject to it. For example, you may even choose, after I've said pay tithe now, you may choose to walk out of the church and go. But you will never reap the fruit of obedience in righteousness. You will keep going from church to church. When you get to the next church, the pastor says something, he will rub you the wrong way, and then you go again. Only those who are that way exercise, when you wait and you allow the word of God to have its way in your life, then your life will change. A rolling stone gathers no what? No moss. Praise the Lord. Is somebody being blessed this morning? Amen. Or is my word too hard for you? Okay, go and read the book of John chapter 6 toward the end. But Jesus didn't just come and say to the disciples, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life. No. It was after he said to the people, he said, except you eat my flesh and you drink of my blood, you cannot make it to the kingdom of God. And the people said, this is a hard saying. What he's saying is a hard saying. What kind of thing is he saying? This guy is gone mad. Eh? He's asking us to practice whatever, you know. And Jesus, in fact, many of them then left. They just walk out of his church. Pastor Jesus. People just left the church and walked out. And he turned around and looked at the disciples. He said, will you go also? And Peter said, Lord, where will we go? You have the word of eternal life. Where can we go? Praise the Lord. The Spirit of God is here. I say the Spirit of God is here. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, I'm Holy Spirit schooled. I didn't just think this thing up to come and teach you this morning. I think it's something that God wants you to hear. It's something that is going to change your mentality about your relationship with God and change your life, so that you are not a game player like many people are. So you are not just doing it to be seen. You are not just going to church to mark the register. You are not just, you know, so that you are truly a disciple of Jesus. And you will see one of the things that you will know to be a disciple of Jesus, that you truly are a disciple of Jesus. Okay. So in other words, when it says, now the true worshiper worship in spirit and in truth, it means that true worshiper worship according to the word of God. Isn't it? Praise the Lord. Okay. So, a true worshiper will not worship according to some new age phenomenon. He will worship according to the word of God. That, because that is the Spirit of God. He worship according to the Spirit, which is the word. Not just, oh, we got a new idea. Let's look at the way, you know, the business method that works. 101 business method that works. You know, how to build your church so that it becomes this. Oh, the 3001 method to expand your church. Then it becomes a business. Let me tell you something. I told my wife something 2 days ago. When we first started, it was as far back as 2001. She can bear me witness, and the Holy Spirit is here. We were told to go and employ people to come and be playing music for us. Am I right? And I said, no. They said that the way they do it, pay people, let them come, you know, and then because a lot of people, while we were clapping, those who wanted to stay, stayed. And I told her, I said, okay, it is true, we can go and pay somebody to just come and be playing for us. The guy had just left sleeping with his girlfriend or whatever, and then he will come and he will lead us to his presence. Whose presence is he leading us to? Eh? Or he comes. Everything else I said to the church does not apply to him. You get what I mean? You may dance, and so the presence is not there. Because it has to be a vessel unto honor that will worship him in a way that will be acceptable unto him, because he can only be worshipped in spirit and in truth, not in make-believe. I'm telling you, as far back as 2000, 2001, that was when they made suggestion to, you think I don't know principles to do? I know, look, I know how to do it, that everything will be going wrong in the church. Even you may live your life the way you like, I won't even say anything, I will leave you. What's my business? We'll be going around. There will be many of us, the more the merrier. You know, when we sing like this, it will be so good, and everybody will come, and then everyone that is married here, you have your extra girlfriend within the church, and everything will be going very well. Isn't it? No, it's true, it's possible. But nobody will ever say a thing, and everything will be looking nice and wonderful. And many people will come to our church. Oh, that place, they are so accepting of people. They are so, he said, come as you are, but not live as you are. Jesus, everyone who came to him, they changed, except a few. He will touch you today in Jesus' name. The other thing about a disciple I've said he's a true worshiper. Okay? Now, I want to take us to another level of worship. A true worshiper is not just a worshiper. He's an adorer of God. A true worshiper is not just a worshiper. He's an adorer. You know what it means to adore? He's an adorer. We say, we adore you, Holy Spirit. You are welcome in this place. He's an adorer. He adores God. Because if you look at the root word for worshippers, it's actually proskunatas. The same word for worship is the same word for adore. Proskunatas. To mean, to adore. You know when you adore somebody? Somebody you adore, their beauty can never fade in your eyes. When you adore your wife, husband, you know what I'm talking about. And you come home, your wife is already sleeping. She's closed her eyes. First of all, you look at her and say, oh God, so you just give her to me. This beautiful woman. All my own. That is adoring. When she's sleeping, you come in, you say, she's so cute. Only me. You adore. The beauty will never fade. Now, what that means is this. Irrespective of where you are, irrespective of who is there or who is not there, if you adore him, his beauty will not fade. He's not subject to public opinion. He's not subject to a delay in answer prayers. You just adore him. God, you are so awesome. You are so beautiful. You love me so much. You did all this for me. Lord, I just adore you. You make everything perfect and so good in your own time. Lord, you know, because you just adore him. I don't know how. Honestly, it's not make believe. I'm just feeling so good now. You know, just adoring him, just worshiping him, just appreciating him. That's the kind of relationship you have with him. That's the kind of relation. That was what Peter meant. He said, where can I go? Who is so beautiful like you? Who is so marvelous like you? Who can do the kind of things you do, Lord? I've tasted you. I know who you are. How can I go somewhere else? He said, this God is so beautiful. He said, how can it be? No, I cannot live. An adorer. A worshiper. The beauty of God cannot fail. The Bible says such people, look at the book of John chapter 4 verse 14. The book of John chapter 4 verse 14. Oh, is somebody being blessed in the house? Praise the Lord. I can feel his presence. Honestly, I can feel his presence. It's different. It's not, you know, it's about him. He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, people who adore him like that, inside you is a well of water that springs forth. Praise the Lord. Can you understand? Now you are going to see what kind of this. Go to Acts chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. Can somebody read? I know our time is gone, so I can finish this point and we go. And we'll continue there. Acts chapter 4, 19 and 20. Can somebody quickly read?
Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God, to hearken unto you, but I'm unto God to judge thee.
But we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. In other words, remember, he said, out of him will spring forth water. There is an eruptive force of water that comes from within that person that adores him. In a way that you cannot keep it to yourself.
He said, how can I keep it to myself? How can I but speak of that which I've seen and heard? In the face of the Sanhedrin, he's still so beautiful, he's still so real. I cannot deny him for some. Can I deny him? He's so tangible in my life. That's what he's telling them. Because the Bible says, out of him will spring water. Have you ever seen a spring before? How many of us? You just see it gushing out. If you cover it up, what's going to happen? It will seep out from sides. There's no covering it. He said, out of him. Out of him. Out of him. He said, the disciple will always send out the sweet water of the gospel. That's what it means. Look at James chapter 1 verse 12. James 1 12. The disciples will send out spring water. Sweet water of the gospel. James 1 12. If you are not sending it out, then there's something wrong. James 1 12. Okay. No, that's not the one. What it says, this is where he actually says, he said, for the same spring of water cannot bring out bitter and sweet water. Praise the Lord. In other words, the point I want to make there is this. I will see, probably chapter 2. Okay. He said, the disciple will always send out sweet water of the gospel. So in other words, if you are still capable of devising evil, then you are not likely to be his disciple. Because it's not possible for the same fountain where goodness, where righteousness, where truth is proceeding, to also produce manipulations, lies, blackmail, hypocrisy, and what have you. Because the same spring of water will not bring bitter and sweet water. So the disciples will only produce sweet water. Talking about hypocrisy, you know what God said about what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said, do what they say. He said, but do not do what they do. That's what he said. Because they know the word. The word that the Pharisees were speaking, they were right. Jesus said, but do it. But don't do what they do, because they themselves never live according to the word. Praise the Lord. We will live according to the word in the name of Jesus. Now, going back, the true worshippers are not afraid that their works be shown to the whole world. In closing, that's the last one. John 3, 20 and 21. Quickly open to, if you find it, read for me, please. John 3, 20 and 21. Praise the Lord. The one that does the truth is not afraid. That's why some things, you can easily say it. If it's the truth, why not? If it's godly, why not? I think you can see it in the Bible. He said, if you are doing what is right, what is righteous, why not? Some people may say, why do they devise card to collect tithe and so on? If you are doing what is right, what is godly, why do you have to hide it? Do it openly. What's there? That's what the Bible says. He said, because you don't have to hide it. If it is of God, let people know that it's of God. Let people know that you have come to a point in your life that now you don't even care about people, but about God. Let people know that you are at a point in your life that you no longer obey man, but you obey God. You cannot hold allegiance to the world and at the same time hold allegiance to God. It's not possible. You are going to offend one. You're either going to offend God or offend man. But once you hold your allegiance to God,
He said, when you are doing the right thing, let's know. It's quite different from when you want to do good, or you understand what I mean. For example, if I know my sister needs $50, I don't have to bring it out and say, oh, sister, take, so everyone can see. That's a different thing. You know what I mean? In that case, you want to take the glory. That's the problem. No. But if you... Daniel, when they asked him not to pray, what did he do? He prayed for people to see that he was praying to God. You don't have to hide it. In fact, what the world would like, what the devil would like to see is that you actually hide. Isn't it? That we don't speak the word of God. That we don't live like Christian. That we live like the world. But that's not what God has called his disciples to do. God has called you to a place of righteousness. And if you are living righteously, it is not you that should be ashamed. It is the ones who don't. You shouldn't be afraid to be who you are. As a Christian, you go to your workplace because other people don't believe. You don't have to hide who you are. What I will not do is this. I will not force you to preach to you. If you say don't preach to me, I will leave you. I will not force you and say you have to listen to me. But if you say don't, I shouldn't say thank God, bless God or something because you don't believe, you are not going to stop me. Praise the Lord. Can we just rise up this morning? Disciples, not just believers. They believe to the point of obedience. They are true worshippers. They adore him. They are adorers of God. Is the beauty of God fading in your eyes? Is his beauty fading? Is he no longer as beautiful as he used to be? Is he no longer as awesome as he used to be before your very eyes? Why don't you speak to the Lord now? It's probably a sign that things are not going well with you. It's a sign that you are no longer in the place where you used to be with him. True worshippers are adorers of God. They adore him. They see his beauty every day. Say, Father, continue to show me your beauty in my life. Show me your beauty. Continue to reveal your beauty to me. That whenever I look, I just see your beauty in every situation. The beauty of the Lord. I just want to keep seeing you in every area of my life. Father, show me your beauty. I want to continue to adore you. I want to continue to adore you. Job said, even though he slays me, I will still praise him. Even though he slays me, even though things are difficult, even though I'm yet to hear that result, even though I'm yet to have answered to that prayer, I will still adore him. I will still praise him. I will still worship him. Even though my pockets seem to be light at this point, I will still worship the Lord. I will still praise him. Thank you, Daddy. Daddy, let me see more of you. The beauty of your presence, fairer than gold, more precious than silver. Lord, I adore you. Please, can we just spend the next 2 minutes to just adore him? Just worship him and adore him. Just worship him and adore him. I adore you, Lord. We adore you, Holy Spirit. You are welcome in this place. We adore you, Holy Spirit. Welcome in this place. Let his beauty, his glory wash over you. Let his beauty, his glory wash over you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we worship. Let's share the grace in fellowship. I just want to be in His presence.